Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor,
Tor, Tor. We welcome you to another episode of the Spider Bundesliga podcast with me, Matthew Karagic. The season, in essence, is over. 34 match days in the book, and now we have only 4 matches remaining until the German football scene concludes, excluding, of course, the Pokal with 2 teams that, let's be honest, no one really cares about. So we will have for you today on this episode, we will look back at all the drama from match day 34, and we will look ahead at the 2 relegation playoff tilts. The first legs, of course, which kick off on Thursday night. So joining me on today's episode is the lovely Armenia Bielefeld fan in Eva. Eva, how are you doing today?
Really, really good. Thank you. How are you?
I am really tired, but nothing will stop me from producing this podcast for you, the people, the wonderful viewers of our program. We'll start with all the drama laden for the promotion and the relegation playoff place. I will start up the top. Dynamo Dresden hosted Paderborn. They really needed to not lose, essentially, but hope that Union would not get a result. They were beaten 3-1 by Dresden. Philip Clement opened the scoring on 10 minutes, and then Baris Atik put in a magnificent display. A hat-trick for him. Dresden really giving their fans something to cheer about heading off to the end of the season. For Paderborn, they were forced to wait and wait and wait. And eventually, when news came through from Bochum, they were going up, completing the double promotion for them. Congratulations to them. They will be in the Bundesliga next season. But we'll get onto the game, Eva. The first 15 minutes really dominated by Paderborn, but then it was almost like watching Dresden play Köln. They were able to exploit the spaces behind the defence, and Baris Atik was really sublime in front of goal.
Yeah, really, it was, you could see from the first minute that Paderborn was very eager to settle this fixture very early, getting a win, don't have to worry about anything that's going on in Paderborn, in Bochum, sorry. But then I think something like with Atik's first 2 goals, and then Singerle injuring himself, Ratajic coming in, Paderborn was a bit, might have been a bit impressed by the whole thing that was going on. It felt a bit safe seeing that Bochum was up. Then it was really poor. I'd say really poor defending from the Paderborn defense. They didn't really clear the ball, gave Dresden all the free space in their defense, which Dresden used. And yeah, it's good to see that Dresden gave their fans something to cheer about.
It has been a tough season for Dynamo. They've gone through 2 coaches. The third one, obviously, Christian Fahl, who is in. Someone who resonates with the team. There were a few farewells for the club. Obviously, Marcus Schubert, who essentially once announcing that he was leaving, didn't see the playing surface, unsurprisingly. There were a bunch of other players that were told that their services would no longer be required. Ausman was one of them, Dermich in defence. So they will obviously be looking for a clean slate going into next season. Whereas for Paderborn, of course, they're going up. And, well, job done for them, doing the rarity of the double promotion. Which brings us to the second game in this fixture, which was Bochum and Union Berlin. 2 goal, it was 2-2 the final score, and Union almost snatched not only the victory, but would have sent Paderborn to the playoff and would have secured themselves that automatic promotion place. Anthony Lucia and Sylvia Ganvula were the goal scorers for Bochum. Grisha Prömel gave away that penalty for the second goal. He redeemed himself in some style with an absolutely beautiful goal from outside the box. Joshua Mee scoring 3 minutes after, and it was really nervy scenes at the Ruhr Stadion. Eva, the red card undoubtedly from Ganvula really changed the game. Union really began to dominate proceedings, and they may feel they were a bit unlucky not to win that game.
Yeah, but also at the same time, of course, that changed that, and they were amazing that they got that they managed to level it. But on the other hand, if you're relying on your opponent to be one down, it's maybe they didn't deserve to get automatically promoted, because I think that Bochum was rather the team that played for something here until maybe 85 minutes or something like that. And just to start playing football in the last 50 minutes, really seeing, oh, well, if we win this, we do have the chance to get promoted. It's just too late. And I think that's why maybe the Fußball God had something to do with that, that those last shot was saved by Riemann.
Yes, and in celebration of this feat, we saw a picture in Mallorca of all the Paderborn players wearing Manuel Riemann Bochum kits. Very bizarre, but that's probably the best way to talk about their club. So for Union, it means the playoff. They play Stuttgart, that first game at the Mercedes-Benz Arena on Thursday. We'll talk about that later in the program. Their away form is concerning, and it was showcased again here. They were very slow out of the blocks. Bochum looked okay. They gave their fans something, but they were probably a bit unlucky not to get the points here. Now to the bottom we go. The scenario was Ingolstadt needed to win. Hope that Sandhausen would either fail to win, draw or lose, and they would displace Sandhausen in 15th, sending them to the playoffs. That did not happen. Ingolstadt were beaten 4-2 at Heidenheim. Thoroughly entertaining game. 6 goals in this one. Patrick Meinke and Robert Andrić scoring the 2 opening goals in the space of 5 minutes. A resurgence from Ingolstadt in the second half. Sonny Kittel and Marcel Gauss getting the goals. And it seemed like maybe Ingolstadt could steal something from here. But as they continue to look for goals, Arne Fijk scoring off a set piece. Then Robert Leipertz, the former Ingolstadt man, putting the nail in the coffin, sending Ingolstadt to the playoffs, securing 5th place for Heidenheim, which is the highest ever finish for the club's history in the Zweite Bundesliga. But this game, especially towards the end of it, had plenty of spice. There was a lot of tension. Robert Glatzel was sent off in this one. As much as Heidenheim didn't really have something to play for, they played like a team that was very much on the edge.
Yeah, I think you could see that, especially in the first half. They already began with that offside goal by Andrić. FTE couldn't really find their way into the game, and that Meinke goal, if you didn't see it, yeah, it's really, really cool how he managed to get the ball into the goal. Yeah, and I think Heidenheim was really, like, they weren't really backing down after the 2 goals, which was maybe because they didn't manage to hire it for them. They got into this whole draw thing again. But yeah, in comparison to Sandhausen, they actually managed to win this. And yeah, as you said, it's their best Zweite Liga season in history. Yeah, I think that was this amazing choreography for Marc Schnatterer as well. So yeah, really, really good work once again. And yeah, for Ingolstadt, it would have been, yeah, a dream come true after that really weird, really bad first half of the season. But yeah, I'm quite sure there will be the winner against Main, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, and it's amazing that it's only their first loss since Thomas Oral has taken over as manager of Ingolstadt. Such is the form that they've carried since he's taken the helm for them. Disappointing, obviously, that they couldn't pull off the miracle scenario. They've got two legs starting on Friday to overturn the potential of going down to the Dritte Liga, which leaves us with the other team that is safe. That's Sandhausen. We now have 15, essentially, we have 15, 16 teams that are guaranteed in the league next season, with only those two remaining games to dictate who will be in and who will be out. Sandhausen 2, Jan Regensburg 2. Only the two goal scorers in this one, Kevin Behrens and Hamad Al-Ghadoui for Jan. Not the dream result for the departing Akim Bialorza, Sargis Adamyan and goalkeeper Philip Penka, who will all be leaving at the end of the season. But for Sandhausen, they showed grit towards the end. And it was Kevin Behrens who has stepped up since the injury to Fabian Sloisner. He might be forced to step up again if the rumours be true that Andrew Vooten will be on his way out. For Jan, they've had a good season. They finished in the top half of the standings. It's more the question marks going into next season. We know they've been able to replace the players either, but you know, you're losing one of your best midfielders and a coach who's done a fantastic job. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, it's really difficult. You could see how much Bialorza is connected to this club. I think you could see that he actually got sent off because you saw that until the last minute he did everything for the club and would be really hard to replace him. And then like they finally found something to identify with, and with a new coach that might get a bit difficult, but on the same time you see how Kiel handled all this, which they have to do again as Tim Walter leaves for Stuttgart. But yeah, we talked about it last week already. It's going to be interesting how they will get. And yeah, then we will see how it will be continued.
It will be. For Sandhausen, though, it's been an unbelievable season in the sense that they were so awful for so many periods throughout. But Koshinat found a way to get results when it was needed. When injury struck, he found other guys who were able to step up. They've announced also the signing of Aziz Buhadus, who's returning from his short stint in Saudi Arabia. He was obviously at St. Pauli last season. Not a particularly enjoyable spell in Saudi Arabia. He now comes back to Sandhausen, greeted with open arms, I'm sure. Useful striker for them going forward. But of course, they don't want to lose Andrew Vooten. He's been really good for them. 17 goals this season. And still can't get a gig in the United States national team for the Gold Cup. That is bereft and mystifying that it is. We'll take a quick break. We'll go to our Group 2 games. We're going to start in Bielefeld when they hosted Kiel.
In den Lauf von Klaus. Aber dessen Vorlage passt wieder nicht. Vogelsammer. Muss den Ball da hinten aufglauben. Klaus, irgendwann machst du die Summe.
Yes, and we start the remaining five matches in Bielefeld. They hosted Holstein Kiel in what was a farewell to club captain Julian Berner, who of course is leaving at the end of the season. We expect it to be Sheffield Wednesday. And he obviously didn't play. Win for Armenia 1-0. Jonathan Klaus was the goal scorer. It ensured a couple of things. It ensured that Armenia were the second best team in the Rückrunde behind Paderborn. It means they finished seventh this season, which when you consider the start of the campaign, they were nowhere near it. And from a Kiel point of view, it was the last game for Tim Walter. He's going to Stuttgart next season. He will be praying that Stuttgart wins, so he's coaching in the Bundesliga. Eva, this is a game you were at. You were talking off air that it was a bit of a strange game early on. Armenia found their feet. Would you suggest it was a deserved win for your guys?
Yeah, I would say so. I would have said differently after the first half, or like the first, let's say, 37 minutes. That was really poor by Armenia, I'd say, but our defense was quite good. Stefan Zeiger just extended his contract for 2 more years. Might have a connection to Berner leaving as well. But yeah, in the second half, I think the whole game was much more interesting to watch. Kiel once again with a better start. I think if Mühling wouldn't have missed the shot, might have been a different game. But I think after that, Armenia was the better team, was the deserved winner in the end as well. Kiel's tryings to level weren't really that dangerous. Even Søren Brandy had the chance to score. I want to mention that for once. He didn't, so that was his last game for Armenia. Not that sad about that. But I think we can be quite happy how the season ended. Winning against Kiel, winning against Sandhausen, it's quite good going into the next season. And also not winning too high, so yeah, it's good. It's good for the Armenia soul to ending that this season ended that calmly in the end.
Plenty of positivities for Armenia when we look at obviously the start of the season they had under Sabina, which was disastrous. Neuhaus steadying the ship. It'll be a big transfer window for them if they can hit on some of their transfers like they have with likes with Pieper, who I thought was really good again in defense with Berendt. Who knows, they could be shaping up for a potential tilt next season, which looks at the moment to be very, very even Steven for a lot of clubs, but we will talk about that another time. The second of our games was in Magdeburg. They hosted Köln. Not a lot riding on this. Köln were obviously crowned champions. They wanted to end the season in style. Magdeburg were going down. They too wanted to give their fans something to cheer about. There are a ton of players from Magdeburg that were to leave at the end of the season. Their goal scorer included Felix Lohkemper. He's leaving at the end of the season. Dennis Erdmann, yes, he is also leaving. And a bunch of others that will be making their way elsewhere. Mikael Niemeyer, he has left as well. He's joining Verheyen Wiesbaden. That happened just moments ago at the time of recording. So for Magdeburg, their first season in the second tier is over. It didn't happen to be a successful one for them. Meanwhile, for Köln, Simon Terodde was the goal scorer 3 minutes in. He ends the season with 29 goals. But he was on a drought, surprisingly, Eva. He hadn't scored since match day 26, so good for him. Not a lot to say about this one on the field, but off the field there was plenty to speak about.
Yeah, I think as Johnny said, our fellow Köln and Bochum fan, there was a lot of action, which might frighten someone who's not that familiar. There was a lot of pyrotechnics from the beginning on. Then I think the police in the East isn't really friend of football fans at the moment. And if you're a younger fan, experience an away match for the first time, it might not be the nicest place to go.
Yeah, it seems that many fan groups of other clubs have spoke of their disdain at times when they've had to travel to Magdeburg this season. It seems to be quite a hospitable environment for opposing fans or even travelling there, even if you're an employee of said other club. That's a shame because sometimes their atmospheres are really intense, really vibrant. But yeah, it's a shame that some of the off-field stuff surrounding Magdeburg is detracting from everything around it. But that is, sometimes that's the way it is, unfortunately. And hopefully one day that can be overturned and the focus on the pitch as well as in the fan groups giving good support would be very much appreciated, I'm sure, by all. A team that would have appreciated promotion in terms of their fan group but didn't was Hamburger SV. But they ended the season in some sort of style. They beat Duisburg, that is relegated, and last place they win, as Australia would call it, they won the wooden spoon for finishing bottom of the table. 3 goals, of course, for Hamburg. Leo Lacroix, who's on loan from St. Etienne, he opened the scoring. The prodigal son, the new one from Bayern's fire, Manuel Winsheimer, and the departing Jan-Fieder Arp getting on the score sheet. What a weird game it was, in the sense that the Hamburg fans really were up and about for Fieder Arp to score, even though he's quite clearly tried so very, very hard to leave the club early on in the day. I might be wrong, but it would seem that's the impression I get anyway. Holtby and Gotoku Sakai were also leaving also at the end of the season. They, unlike Arp, didn't get a friendly reception by the fans, which is quite a shame considering that they've both given a decent service to the team. Either, I mean, it really caps off what has been a strange old season for Hamburg. We can make the joke this is the highest finishing position that they've had in some time, but of course it's in the second tier. Not it hasn't been an ideal season for them. I think the whoever comes in next has a massive cleanup job.
Yeah, not going to be very pretty, I think, for both. It was, the closing game, at least a win in the end. But, like, if Haswell would have played in any way, like, in this game, there were, in both halves, there were way more the team that wanted to win despite the opponent. And yeah, that's what you missed throughout the whole season, more or less, maybe except that, the derby. But it's really weird, as you said. Arp got his goodbye goal, his first goal this season. As I would say, I think he will not have that much to play for at Bayern, especially not in the first team. I can't really see Niko Kovac playing someone that has been not a particular good side in a not really good Zweite Liga team. So, but who am I to look into Niko Kovac's head? But yeah, really weird, really. Like, this may or may not sum up the Hamburg season.
Yeah, it does really. I mean, they've just been so ordinary for long periods. As we've said on many occasions, they pulled the pin way too early on Christian Tietz. And now they're in a scenario where they didn't expect it to be here. They expected to go straight back up. Now they're here again next season. And I think they know that they need to build the squad in such a way that is much improved and obviously in terms of monetary a lot cheaper, because the salaries they've got in certain players, I think the returning Bobby Wood's about to make $3.5 million, and in what planet does he warrant a contract that large? I'm pretty sure no one with any sort of footballing sense would know that he's not even worth a quarter of that kind of salary on his good days anyway. So, yeah, lots to go on, and that's something we will talk about in another episode, we guarantee. That 2 games remaining. The first was in Fürth. They hosted St. Pauli. Fabian Riese opening the scoring. Yep, a Schalke player scoring goals. That's rare, but good for him. He comes back to Schalke, actually. But Fürth have said they want to keep him. So we'll see what happens there. Dimitrios Diamantakos leveled the scoring just moments later. And then Richard Magyar getting the winner. It's in fact his second game-winning goal in stoppage time for Greuther Fürth this season. So a good win for Fürth. They end the season the right way. For St. Pauli, it only just proves what we've said again and again about Jos Luhukay. Clearly not up to standard either, and some would say Luhukay Raus.
Yeah, I don't see any improvement to the St. Pauli side that might have played like 3 months ago or 2 months ago. I think for me, there must have been something wrong with Kauczynski in somewhere at some level of communication, because otherwise I can't really explain it why you would go with Luhukay. Yeah, and that game was maybe also a summary of St. Pauli, especially in the second half of the season. I think they were like 14th or 15th place in the Rückrundentabelle, which like characterizes this St. Pauli team. And then this defeat in last minute in an away game. It's, yeah, they didn't use their chances in the first half. Then they were just really poor in defending, and yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's so hard to explain with them. They just, yeah, I don't know. It's speechless. I can't figure it out. So a massive debrief expected. The strangest thing is they gave him a contract until 2021. So make your own conclusion, St. Pauli fans. But I think from the outside anyway, it just doesn't look like a good fit either way. It does bring us to the last of our games for match day 34. Darmstadt hosted Erzgebirge Aue. A game of some mischances, but it was Darmstadt who took the win. Tobias Kemper with the one and only goal. It wasn't a particularly pretty game. It looked like two teams who were more than happy to get to the summer break. For Darmstadt, it only proves that the hiring of Dimitrios Gramotsis to get them to the end of the season has been a good one, and certainly gives them optimism that they can build on from this going into next season.
Yeah, definitely. Although I think Gramotsis is also handled at HSV. So that might be another point, but I could imagine that he wants to stay at Darmstadt, because seeing that he isn't in charge of that club for that long. And yeah, I think Darmstadt was a bit lucky from time to time in this game. Testod failing to score and two huge chances. But yeah, I think, and I don't know if you've seen it, but Dursun nearly got another goal for Darmstadt with the... That would maybe have been the goal of the month, probably. But yeah, it's also like a game that I think it was 11th against 12th. Nobody really cared about this. That was how the game was handled, more or less, by the players as well. They were like always 10 minutes in each half. But yeah, going to be interesting how both teams going to reform themselves in the summer break. And then they will take on another Zweite Bundesliga season.
Yes, indeed. I think many will be hoping that Gramotsis can build the Darmstadt side that he wants. He's already been busy in the window. Mandala Egbo, the young Englishman who formerly of Crystal Palace and Borussia Mönchengladbach, the 21-year-old, has committed to sign with Darmstadt till 2022. So that'd be great to have some more English followers on the podcast and maybe some more Darmstadt fans, which would be fantastic. A decent signing for them. It looks likely that Marcel Franke may not return, might be a part of the Norwich side going to the Premier League. So that, not confirmed, but seems very likely. So Egbo potentially could have a chance to showcase his skills at the Zweite Bundesliga level. That is our Match Day 34 review. We'll kick it off straight to the relegation playoffs. We're going to start at the Mercedes-Benz Arena when Stuttgart host Union Berlin. We'll be right back. Yes, and you join us as we prepare for the relegation playoff. The first legs get underway on Thursday night. Stuttgart host Union Berlin at the Mercedes-Benz Arena. The two teams have only ever met twice, and that was a couple of seasons ago when Stuttgart were in the Zweite Bundesliga. One draw and one win the Stuttgart way. The last time they played in Stuttgart, it was a 3-1 win for VfB. It has been a horrible season for Stuttgart, as many will be able to tell you. They started the season with Typhoon Korkut as manager. He lasted all but 7 match days. I think it was 5 defeats in the first 7. Only the one win. He was gone. Marcus Weinziel was seen as the replacement that was going to turn the ship around. It did not. He put them in pretty much the same position as Korkut had at the start of the season. Then Niklas Willig, who was in charge of their Swiss side, came in. He got them to avoid the relegation zone altogether, but they will play in the playoff. Really struggled to find the back of the net. The leading goal scorer has been Mario Gomez. He has 7. So, Eva, I guess when you... Well, that's Stuttgart in a nutshell. But, we'll also need to look at Union. We'll start with Stuttgart. Your overall impressions on them this season, and what is something that might worry them going into this game?
So first of all, when you look at the beginning of the season, everything Stuttgart says, them having Pavard, the World Cup winner with France, their expectations for the season were way up. They were like, we're playing Europa League, whatever. And then they only, as you already said, they were really poor this whole season. They were only out of the bottom 3 twice, which was on match day 1 and on match day 15. The rest of the matches, they were always a factor of the last 3. And yeah, I actually saw them live once this season against Hoffenheim, which they managed to draw. But you could see they're really poor in going forward. If they have the ball, they're not really trying to use the space that they are given. Facing Union Berlin, it can be a really interesting game. Although as we spoke earlier, I think the team that might have struggled or might have create more problems for Stuttgart would have been Paderborn with their offensive football, which Union does not have in that kind of way. But yeah, you always have much less to lose as someone from Zweite Liga than Stuttgart from Bundesliga.
And that's the thing, but as we've seen so many occasions recently in the playoffs, you have to go back to Dusseldorf with the last team to essentially win the playoff. Despite the Zweite Bundesliga side having such better form in general, they play like the underdog. They play tense. We've seen teams that just have been unable to crack open the Bundesliga side, no matter how terribly defensively the team has been. As Stuttgart have this season, I'm still certain they have the worst defensive record in the league, despite having the World Cup winner in Pavard. I think there is a massive key here. If Union can get an away goal, and even if it ends 1-1, they are in a great situation to go and win the tie. Unbelievably strong at home. They've lost twice at home all season. If they can get the away goal, they're a great chance of going up. But that's if they can get the away goal and not lose the game in such a way. It's theirs if they want it. It is very much theirs if they want it. The other of our relegation playoff games will start in Wiesbaden. Third place, Verein Wiesbaden host Ingolstadt. They've played 6 times in history. Ingolstadt have won half those games. In fact, the last season those two teams played was in the 2009-10 season. And in both fixtures, Ingolstadt won 5-1. Now, it's probably incomprehensible to see that happen, but we've seen stranger things. Wiesbaden haven't beaten Ingolstadt since 2007. They are managed by Rüdiger Reim. Manuel Schaefler is their top scorer. He had 16 Drittliga goals. That was second best in the league. They have the best attack in the Drittliga. They scored 71 goals and they scored 35 points both home and away. They had the second best away record in the league. They've got some interesting players in their team, some ex-Zweite Bundesliga players, Patrick Schonfeld from Eintracht Braunschweig, Marcel Titch-Rivero is someone who we all, Johnny in particular and myself, both believe that he's good enough to play at the Zweite Bundesliga level. They have an interesting team, Eva. They've had a really good end to the season. I think they've won 5 of their last 6 heading into the playoff. They will be a very tricky side to play against.
Yeah, and what might be surprising when looking at all the other playoff teams is that they are one of the teams that weren't set to be in the playoff spot. The first time they were on it was on match day 14, and then again on match day 24. They're actually in the top 4 since match day 23. So a bit different to, for example, Ingolstadt, who, yeah, were in the last, like in the bottom 3 since match day 7. But yeah, they have a budget of nearly €7 million. And I think Patrick Schönfeld, people might know him from Braunschweig or from Bielefeld as well. He has some good Zweite Bundesliga, Dritte Liga experience with getting promoted as well. And he has, I think he has some playoff experience as well. It's going to be maybe not the game we were all waiting for the players when the other opportunity would have been Magdeburg against Hallescher FC. But yeah, for both teams, it's going to be completely new surrounding opponent. We will, in Zweite Liga, Dritte Liga, playoff games have some tense games in history.
It's certainly, out of the two playoff ties, the Dritte Liga, Zweite Bundesliga tie, as you mentioned, is a lot more spicier than the Bundesliga, Zweite Bundesliga ties, as we've seen the season that 1860 Munich went down. That was the ultimate car crash, if there's ever been such a bigger car crash. I mean, I'd love to see it, because that was calamitous at best. It's there, obviously, rehashing some old memories, probably want to be forgettable memories, of course, when Darmstadt beat Bielefeld. It happens. It can happen. The Dritte Liga side has a better chance of getting a result. It's going to be tough. I mean, Ingolstadt have only lost once in their past 6. They've been a much improved side under Thomas Oral. It could go, this tie could go either way. As much as Ingolstadt probably have the caliber, I mean, you've got to look at Wiesbaden, and you know, they've had a great season. They were a point off automatic promotion, with Karlsruhe being that team securing the automatic place. They were in a fight with Hallescher for a lot of the season for third place. They were able to beat them essentially to the punch. It'll be interesting. Eva, do you have a prediction for the first leg for this game?
Really, really difficult. I've seen Wiesbaden twice or 3 times or so actually play this season. If it would have been Ingolstadt like 2 months ago, that would have been a much more easier decision to make, but now it's tough. I go with a draw for the beginning, because both teams don't really want to lose anything. And yeah, then we will look at the second game.
It will be interesting. I think Ingolstadt, out of the both teams will probably see it as they've got not a lot to lose. If they get, like Union, they get the away goal, it makes such a difference to the tie. I also think it'll probably be a draw. I'm expecting 1-1 might be the score. It'll be probably a tight, cagey 20-30 minutes. And then later on in the second half, we'll hopefully see the game open up. Any prediction for the Stuttgart-Union game? We know it's going to be a tough game for Union, considering their woes away from home. But again, Stuttgart, worst defence in the league. How do you see it panning out?
Yeah, so I do think that Stuttgart did improve a bit under Willig, which is really hard compared to what Korkut and Weinzierl did. It's really hard still to see Berlin getting a win out of that first game. Seeing them in the last couple of weeks, the only time they were really playing to win was maybe the HSV game. I would say I go with the draw here as well.
Yeah, I probably leaning towards a Stuttgart win, as ridiculous as that sounds. Their last home game against Wolfsburg, they were really good. They took control of that. The only question is, can they be efficient in the final third? We know how good Union are defensively. Can they penetrate that back four with consistency and create high-scoring chances? We'll wait and see. We have two topic questions in our section, but they're not particularly questions. We'll get to them right now. Still Penguin at Still Penguin 3 is the first. He says, "Hello, everybody. My first season in the Zweite Bundesliga is in the books, and what a first season it was. Thank you for being my guide throughout this crazy season. Do you have any predictions for next season?" Still Penguin, of course, it's our pleasure to bring you all things Zweite Bundesliga, the one and only English-speaking Zweite Bundesliga podcast, and almost basically the only one really covering the league in its entirety and properly and trying to give it justice. In terms of your question, it's one of those where we don't know the whole 18 teams that are going to be in it. It's shaping up to be extraordinarily even in terms of who could go up and who could go down. We will have a preview episode for the 2019-20 season. So we'll hold that question on for later, Steele. Eva, do you agree that it might be a bit too early to predict?
Yeah, definitely. We're just 2 days out of the season and from the match days that is. And as you said, we still have to wait for the playoff games. And with the teams just starting to look who's going to stay, who will they get. So I think we have to wait a bit to really see who can be a new part of the team, who will be to do any predictions. Although I will say predicting the Zweite Bundesliga is something I'm really giving up on because there is no use in it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I could tell you I had Duisburg in the promotion playoff this season and they finished bottom. So pick your poison is what I would suggest if you're going to predict the season. Our last sort of topic question, though, again, not really a question, is from Eric Kaufman from at Shrike2112. He says, just on a quick note, he wants to thank Eva, Elliot and myself for the dedication for covering the league each week. Having Derek Ray on a couple of times was a real treat. Bummed about Hartsfield blowing the promotion, but looking forward to listening to next season. We can tell you that next week on the podcast, Elliot will be back. It's not even next week. It might be on the weekend. Hopefully we'll record previewing the second leg and the first leg of the play and reviewing the first leg of the playoffs. And Derek Ray will be back on. He's, of course, commentating the Stuttgart Union playoff legs, the first and the second one. So it'll be great to have him on as per usual. Also, thanks to the guys like Alex, Danny, and, of course, Johnny. Without Johnny creating the podcast, this wouldn't be such a thing for us to talk about. And, of course, without the listeners, without you guys listening, you know, we aren't able to build this community of Zweite Bundesliga, and you guys are the real champions here. Without you guys, contributing to the podcast and by listening, we do it for you guys, and and I can't really speak highly of the fan base that listens to us and the league itself. We know it's a great league, and it's just getting more people not to jump on the bandwagon, but to appreciate it the way that we do. I'm not sure how you feel about it either, but you know, we've got great listeners, but you know, the league definitely doesn't get the justice it deserves.
No, definitely not. We spoke about that off camera. Really passionate as well. I think Zweite Liga does deserve much more attention, looking at its fan base, looking at the past couple of years, how crazy it was to being a part of it as a fan of one of the members of the league. But also, I think for more or less neutral fan, it's still crazy what's going on. I think it does deserve much more attention. I love it in the league, actually. It's great talking about that. And yeah, I think this podcast is a first start to get some more attention, to see that there's plenty to talk about. And yeah.
Yep, there is plenty to talk about if you want to talk about it. That is, in essence. Again, that is the end of this episode of the podcast. We will be back, as mentioned, at some time on the weekend prior to the second legs of the playoffs. We once again thank you for your company. I thank you, Eva, for joining me once again on the podcast. We look forward to your company soon, and have a good rest of the week. Goodbye.
Und Uwe Koschinat fordert seine Jungs auf, alle nach vorne, alle nach vorne. Und das lohnt sich!